Backstage with Mothership on Solid Rock Radio begins now. Hear the best in new music, artist interviews, stories from the road, and more. You are now backstage, and here's your host, Mothership.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the most literal Backstage with Mothership interview ever. I thought you might enjoy the raw experience, but you'll have to pardon the extremely loud noises of catering at Loud and Proud Festival in Germany as we talk about what's new for White Cross.
Tell me who you are and what band you're with and what you do with your band.
My name is David Roberts. I'm the lead singer for White Cross.
And are you part of the writing process?
I have co-written a couple of the songs, but you know, Rex does most of the writing, and I throw him ideas all the time. Some gets used and some don't, but you know, I do try.
What does a song need to be solid in your eyes?
The message is the most important thing. You know, Jesus is the most important thing. So totally about the message. And if we can find an artistic way to make it work with music and the message is clear, that's when it's accepted for us, you know, as a song.
What was the thing that kind of drew you into the music industry in the beginning?
Well, I was about 3 years old, and there was a broomstick laying up against the wall, and I started singing, so that was my first microphone.
Nice. What is your favorite song in White Cross?
I like, that's a tough one. I'm going to go with Lion of Judah. It's just a really fun song. It's a powerful song, and I also like the new song called 29,000, which represents the days that God gave us for this earth.
And what have y'all got going on?
We've got a new album coming out in February. White Cross's first album in many, many years, and we're very excited. Fresh new material, and it's I would call it seasoned White Cross. It's got the same feel as the old stuff, and then there's also some newer stuff that's like there's a mandolin acoustic song on there, which we will perform actually tonight, and called Blind Man. Jesus heals the blind. He can heal all things, addiction, raise people from the dead even, you know. So it's a beautiful song. And I would say the album is just very well-rounded and very well-written. But Rex is the driving force behind this band, and I have to give all credit to him.
What kind of message would you like to give to the fans?
Well, be on the lookout for the new album. There's a lot of very cool, strong messages in the songs. And you can find all the information about upcoming shows. If you want us to come to your area and perform, we're actually having a contest on whitecrossband.com where you can enter your email address, and we're going to pick two winners that'll get a couple of t-shirts and a CD. And, you know, maybe we can come to your town and perform.
What do you like your legacy to be?
Ooh. As a man of God.
And plain and simple.
Yeah, I mean, that's the most important thing. I've dedicated my life to music, so I would hope that I would be remembered for that as well.
Yeah. Now, sometimes y'all get to see that when you're on the road. You have a story, kind of was an aha moment for you with a fan, or...
Well, for me, the most rewarding is, even though I can't take credit for any of it, but with the old singer and the material, the older White Cross material, I will have fans, it's happened on several occasions, that will come up to me and say, I used to listen to White Cross all the time, and it was White Cross music that brought me to the Lord, and that is so rewarding. That's my favorite thing. I love the fans. White Cross fans are very loyal to the band, and I love that. And I really believe that they will enjoy the new music as well.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. We had a little talk about it the other day.
Yeah.
And it's sounds like there's a little bit of something for everybody.
Yes, there is. And there's a couple of slow songs. There's actually like three slow songs, I would say. One acoustic with mandolin. One has actually got orchestrated parts in it.
Yeah.
And then the other one is just an acoustic and vocal from Rex to the fans. A personal message from him to the fans, I would say.
Okay. Well, I have another guy on my right over here. So let's see. Hey, what's your name?
Hi, I'm Michael Thea.
Well, tell us about how you got started with the band and what kind of music background you have.
I started playing drums when I was about 16 and was a self-taught player, then started taking lessons later on. My dad was in the Air Force, and so at about 18 years of age, I was actually here in Germany, very close to Frankfurt in Ramstein, and that's where I really gave my heart to the Lord. And Striper kind of came on the scene later on, and I was like, wow, I want to do that. I want to use my gift in God's army. And in 1991, God opened the door, and I joined White Cross and been with them ever since.
Been very rewarding?
I mean, it can be challenging, but there's definitely times it's very humbling. I mean, you can get caught up in, like, the performances and making sure you sound good. And, like, one that I have in particular, a guy came up to me. It's probably like within the first 2 years when I joined the band, 92 or 93, and he came to a show and wanted a stick, and I didn't have any more sticks that I could give out, and so I had broke a cymbal, and I said, hey, you want this cymbal? And he was like, oh my gosh, and so I signed it or whatever, and he reaches out to me on Facebook about 10 years later, and he's, I always get emotional at this. he said that he was running from God, and that night, he said that just what I did, I wasn't thinking anything about it. And he said God just used that and went back to the church. He became a youth pastor. And he was like, I'm a youth pastor now. And that's when I'm like, you know, man, God, you're using a ding-dong like me to, like, touch people. And that's the most important thing. I mean, music is so fun. I love these guys. But obviously the most important thing is reaching souls for Jesus.
There's lots of different levels.
Lots of different levels. But at the end of the day, that is the crucial.
I think I'm finding as I'm getting older, too, that you realize you're very passive and you're doing things and you have no idea of the impact.
Totally.
You know, just a little thing.
Totally.
Handing a pick to somebody, handing a stick to somebody. Yeah. And that moment in time, that's their Ebenezer.
Yes.
You know, and you have no idea.
How God can take that and just totally run with it. Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah. How have things changed since the 90s? Now y'all are kind of back in the game, doing a new album and everything. Yeah. How have things changed in the industry?
Gosh, a lot.
A lot?
I mean, with record labels, with, you know, the music, obviously, especially here in America, you know, fans, and not put anybody down, because I'm from America and I'm the same way. You can get real fickle. You're waiting for the next thing. Like in Latin America and Europe, when they're a fan of somebody, it's for life. And but yeah, just the music changing and everything, but it's so good to be here with all the younger bands that are, like, you know, they've taken the reins now and they're running with it. It's fun.
Well, and like we just said, I mean, you're probably hearing some of these bands and you're saying, if it wasn't for White Cross, there wouldn't be X, Y, Z band.
That's really humbling.
Yeah.
And it's cool. When I was at the airport, I, you know, ran into Disciple and, I mean, just awesome guys.
Yeah.
Everybody wouldn't be truthful if they didn't say there's a healthy competition. You want to be, you know, as good as you can be. But at the end of the day, we're all on the same team. And, you know, so it's good because there's a lot of camaraderie, which is nice, you know.
Yeah. And it's nice to build each other up and encourage each other.
Yes. Yeah.
New music coming up.
So excited.
What is it on your end that you're most excited about?
One is that the band hasn't put out material in probably like 20, I think it's like 21 years. Issues in the band and prevented that. And I think when Dave came in, it just a surge of newness and energy. And Rex ended up writing some of the, to me, the best material he's ever written. And I'm just excited for people to hear it.
What do you want this legacy to be?
Of White Cross?
Of White Cross, yes.
Gosh, just a tool that God used and blessed people, made them happy. Yeah.
And for yourself?
My legacy.
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy. That's a crazy question. Wow. I mean, somebody that, they, you know, will be like, oh my God, he really loved Jesus.
You just want to extend yourself into other things.
Yeah. I don't know why you're making me cry.
I've lost a lot of people in my life in the last few years, and you don't think about it till like you do start losing people, and you realize how much they meant to you.
Yeah.
And you think, what is my life going to mean to somebody else?
Totally. I lost my wife. It's been 10 and a half months.
Oh, I'm so sorry. And I know you're going to make me cry. She left the lake.
Sure.
You're going to, from the experiences and things that you have with her, you can also leave a legacy by what you write.
Absolutely. And she loved the ministry of the band. Yeah.
So by keeping on, you were enhancing her now. That's great.
So.
Well, I sure do appreciate y'all talking to me. I'm going to see if I can't.
Get the scary guy.
Else.
Scary dude.
All right. Thanks for talking to me.
Thank you.
I am Rex Carroll, and I play lead guitar with White Cross.
How long have you been with White Cross?
Since about 1985.
Whoa. So have we found the oldest member? Yeah, that's currently in the band?
Yeah. Yeah, in terms of who's been in the band the longest, that would be me.
Awesome.
I'm the second eldest member of the band, though.
So now that you can tell us the lore, how did this get started?
Well, in 1977, I was introduced to Christian music. I started in a Christian music group on campus at university. And then in the fall of 1977, my group opened up for the Resurrection Band.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
On campus, and I met Glenn Kaiser, and that was really cool because it showed me a template of, you can have a rock band and you can also glorify the Lord in your music. And that's something that I always wanted to do. And I always listened to groups like, you know, Black Sabbath and Led Zeppelin and Cream and Deep Purple and stuff growing up. Christian music didn't exist outside the church. And I wanted to have a rock band that would just give God the credit. So I kind of did that. And so we used to go see all the Forerunner groups, like Second Chapter of Acts.
Oh, yeah.
I saw Keith Green in Rockford, Illinois.
Wow.
And we saw, I think I saw Benny Hester. I saw Nancy Honeytree. I met her at one of the early music festivals. And, so kind of that scene.
Yeah.
And Phil Keaggy was like the only really guitar hero. And there was Christian rock groups out, but I didn't like any of them. To me, rock and roll was like, I wanted something that was really heavy, that could keep up with like Motley Crue and Van Halen and Whitesnake and Deep Purple. Those are all my bands.
Kind of meaty stuff.
Those are all my bands, like the LA rock scene. Well, another thing happened after I got out of school. I got signed to Atlantic Records with a group called Fierce Heart. It was a secular rock group, mainstream rock group. We did one album for Atlantic. And that record also taught me how to record. It taught me a lot of things about the music business. It was a really good training ground for White Cross, because we wouldn't have been able to do what we did in White Cross if I didn't have some of that knowledge.
Right.
So in 1985, I met Scotty, and I was looking for a singer, and he was looking for a guitar player. And he had started a group called White Cross with guys from his church youth group.
Oh boy.
They weren't very good. And I came in, and we had a lot of battles about, we need to play cover tunes so we can get gigs. And I'm like, well, I want to do some original ideas that I have. So that was the early days of the band. And then we found Pure Metal Records, and our first album came out, and we went from there.
What was your first instrument you learned to play? Because I kind of think you probably know a few.
Piano.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, and then piano didn't really take, but then in school they came around, like in third grade, they came around passing out the instruments. So I tried a violin, and I liked it, so I joined the orchestra. And I took violin lessons for many years. I played for like 11 years. Eventually, I switched to upright bass. And then when I was 10, I wanted to be a drummer like Ringo. You know, everybody wanted to be like the Beatles. And I wanted to be like Ringo. So I was collecting drums. My mom said, no, you got to play like a real musical instrument.
Because drums aren't real.
Yeah, well, she was a bit of a snob that way. You know? So she got me a guitar, and I started playing the guitar, and I never looked back.
There you go.
Yeah.
How has music changed since the 1980s? That's a loaded question.
Probably the biggest change that has affected everybody's life is we live in a digital era now with, now we have AI technology, we have all this stuff. We live in the age of computers, and you know, my life is kind of a hybrid. When I started out, everything was still analog.
I
was talking to one of the bands here, and they were asking what was it like back in the analog recording days. We were talking about all of the anomalies of 24 track tape recording.
You're a purist. You like that sound, or?
Well, it's a beautiful sound.
It is.
It's a sound that will never be replicated. But I do have to admit that I love the sound of our new album, which is so myself and a lot of other producers have the same feeling, is that I like to combine, I like to try to get as much analog gear as I can at the front end. You know, I like to use a quality microphone through a microphone amplifier and everything analog as much as possible. And then once it's recorded, then it's in the digital domain, and then you can add processing to it and make it sound like the music that we have now. So so it's a hybrid. It's kind of a hybrid.
You can't ever completely go back, but you can sure use those elements, right?
Well, that's not entirely true. You can go back if you want to. Yeah, Lenny Kravitz had a thing for years about, you know, it's like, well, why don't you use Pro Tools and go digital? And he just said, no, I want to stay pure to the analog. So he did everything on tape. Now, all the tape companies went out of business, but then now a couple of them have come back.
Yeah.
Because there's a boutique marketplace for artists who just want to record with that medium.
Yeah.
You know, it's a different medium. Like, I would compare it to, like, you're a visual artist, and what kind of paints do you prefer to work with? Well, do you like watercolors, or do you like, you know, different makeup of your paint? It's kind of like that. But we live in this digital world now that has affected everybody on the planet. That's where we're at. There's no going back. But that's the biggest change also in music.
See, I know you haven't done anything in
long time.
Yeah. So what was kind of the catalyst that, like, okay, it's time to come out with something new?
Well, that would go to just stating the facts and you know, putting things in the best light. You know, Scotty, our previous singer, we had 38 years together, and he's really just kind of more winding down a bit, you know, and so we weren't really doing anything new for many years. So you're louder than I am. I'm working over here. So, Scotty's in Tennessee. David came in around 2020. And so we've had a couple of years to gel together. And so now we're ready for new music. You know, it's like that. And I think that the band was kind of done until Dave came in and offered us a fresh chapter. So now we've been getting out, and you know, we're doing this interview at Loud and Proud in Germany, and I'm so excited and blessed and grateful and fortunate to be here and give God the glory for all of that, and just be thankful that we get to have another run and another, you know, there's like more chapters to go, and the book is not done yet for us. So I'm just so happy about that. We're it's in a way, it's like, man, I wish we could have started on this like years ago.
Yeah, but the timing wasn't right then.
Right, so it's, you know, it's now it's 2023, and here we are
with a mature
White Cross.
Yeah, an older, hopefully a little bit wiser.
Yeah.
I remember, White Cross was the guinea pig for a lot of things.
Yeah.
I remember talking to our record label, please.
Yeah. Is that your name?
You know, save your all the money you're spending on stupid, like, cardboard cutouts of the band that go into, like, a Christian bookstore.
Yes.
Stop wasting your money on that junk. And just, you know, just spend all the money. Get us, like, 3 weeks to open for Bon Jovi or some group. You know, just spend the money on that, and we'll double the sales. You know, all we need is the exposure. And so they didn't listen. They were not receptive to any of that. And then, you know, later on, you know, 10 years later, here along comes Skillet, and they did all those things that I was begging our label to do. And, you know, look at the career that they've had. So, you know, good for them. But, you know, this is where we are, and we have a lot of fun together now.
Yeah.
Everybody puts the band first, and there's a collective will that we want to honor God in our music and seek His direction. And I love to play guitar. I love the Lord. I love to make His name known in all the world. And that's kind of what our mission is. We're gonna proclaim the name of the Lord and make His name famous throughout the world. That's our goal.
That's basically what you want your legacy to be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I want to be, my legacy is love God, love people, and understand that, you know, we're here to serve each other and all those kinds of things.
Well, is there anything else you want to tell us about the new album? You produced this?
I am the producer. We have one of the most brilliant mix engineers that you'll find. AnthonyFox.com. You can look on his website and you see all the artists that he's worked with. Everybody from Aerosmith to Metallica. And he is mixing up a firecracker of an album. I cannot wait to unleash this album on the world. It's probably it's our best album yet. And, you know, and I love the messages in our songs, in the lyrics, and I love the music tracks and everything. It's just like, wow, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for all of it. So, what time is it? 8:05. All right, so we're supposed to go now and do our acoustic set.
Thank you, man, for talking with me.
You bet.
All right.
After their acoustic, I tracked down Benny of White Cross to finish out my interview.
I'm Benny Ramos. I am the bass player for the band White Cross. So I have been there since about year 2000, 2001. So about last 22 years, right about there.
Is that all?
Yeah. Yeah, that's all.
How have things changed over the years?
Well, first of all, I think one of the big changes, new changes that we have right now is we have a brand new singer. And Scotty's been with us for many, you know, since the beginning, been with Rex. And so now we're coming up on a couple years. We've made the change. And with Dave Roberts now, he's just brought a whole new element with things. And so we find ourselves right now at a place where it's probably been busier than it has in the last, like, 10 years. Busier now than it has been. And so we're... ministry's taken off, so you know, we're happy about that.
The new singer brought a little shot in the arm, and there's a new album.
Yes, that's very true. Yes, we have a new album coming out. We're hoping to get it out, hopefully within the next 3 months. It'll be done, mixed and everything else. We pretty much have it done, just to, you know, putting our finishing touches on it, and some vocal touches and different things like that. But yeah, that's going to be coming out. We're very excited about it, and with the anticipation with the album already, people have been been contacting us to do some things, and we're very happy to be here at Loud and Proud. It's for this year. It's our first time here, and so we hope it's the first of many times. You know, it's just it's great.
With the new album, where do you fit in the creative process?
Me and Mike are like the rhythm sections, and so that's what we kind of bring into as far as creative. Mike's been a little bit for some of the writing process, but as far as songs, but we're more creative with the rhythm section. So, you know, Rex gives us a, you know, some leeway with that. And so, you know, that kind of comes up to play. We've been playing together for years, me and Mike, and so we kind of have this niche now, and so he kind of lets us take it with the rhythm.
Yeah, I can imagine, you know, this long, everybody knows where they fit, you just kind of slide in, right?
Yeah, it's kind of how it is, and everybody's got their part, you know, to play in the band, and so, and especially if you have that responsibility, then it alleviates, like, a lot of pressure off of Rex, and he relies on us, you know, to be the rhythm section, so yeah.
I know you have all the tracks, right?
Yes. I have all my bass tracks are done, and Mike's tracks are done, you know, for the album, yeah.
What's your favorite one?
It's a good question, because I have several of them. I have to say right now, Fear No Evil is probably my favorite one. Just even besides musically, but I think just lyrically, it's just really based off of Psalms 23. And so, you know, the while I walk through the valley, the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And so when you have God on your side, that verse just really, really rings out. And it's from that whole chapter. And so the whole chapter is this amazing chapter. It's one of my first chapters memorizing as a child in Sunday school way back when, you know, when I was a kid. And so, you know, I think that's a very important song to me personally.
Where are you going from here? Are you going to be touring?
Yeah, we're... right after Loud and Proud, we're going to Sweden to do some dates in Sweden. And so we're going to be out there doing a handful of dates. And then, you know, we're working on some things back in the States, you know. You know, it's coming up towards the holidays, you know, when we get back. So it's usually like a calmer time of the year. And so, Rex is already working on stuff for like the beginning of the year. And so, you know, we'll probably get in the flow of things more deeper, a little bit more active in the springtime. You know, and he as well is doing some stuff with the Petra and Not Ashamed tour in the States, you know, all over. And so he's gets a chance to do that. He's doing a couple dates in November. And so with that, so, you know, and then doing the mixing of the albums. And then I'm as well helping to pastor a church. And so whenever I'm not out touring, I'm pretty busy back at the church thing. So, yeah exactly.
Tell the people the difference between European concert crowds and the American concert crowds.
I really think that the European crowds really take it, you know, serious. No bash against, you know, I mean, I'm an American, so.
Maybe it's because there's so many opportunities in the U.S. to hear people.
Yes, and sometimes I think that's what it is. You got so many choices, and then sometimes they don't take it very serious, and so. You know, but I think sometimes, unfortunately, the American listener has been listens with their ears and not with their heart all the time. And so, which I see more overseas, that people listen with their heart. And so when you listen with your heart, there's a difference, because then when they're a fan and they love your music, they're fans for life and they love you for life. And so. In America, it can go one ear and out the other very, very quickly. And that's why I think in American music, you have artists getting younger and younger. And then they're only, you know, here for like a couple years and they're gone. And so just because American listener wants always something different, you know, it's very convenient, like a microwave, you know, it's just like, okay, what's next? What's next?
Like a TikTok, like a reel. Like
yeah.
Swipe.
Yep, right, exactly. Swipe, what's next? And so that's kind of how, unfortunately, in the States, it's gotten like that as a listener, and versus like overseas, like here in Europe and in Central and South America, they listen with their heart. And when they love you, it's like they're there. You're there for life. So
yeah. You got some hardcore fans that you see all the time every time you go up.
Yes, we do. Especially overseas. We see that a lot. We see fans that have stayed with us and they're hardcore. And some of the times we love hearing the testimonies of some of the fans that just listened to us for years and just, you know, it's got them through some hard times and some of the songs.
People that are your fans have had time to mature in their faith.
Yes.
When you ministered to them when they were younger.
That is very true. It's very true. They They've matured more, and it's gotten through. I remember quite a few people telling me, like, you know, when I was young, I was going through this, and this particular song ministered to me. And now they're older, and they're bringing. I'd like to introduce you to my son. He's with me here, you know. And so, you know, we are starting to see younger generations, and the younger generation's like, yeah, I listen to your music because my dad would listen to it at the house, and so I grew up with your music. And I'm like, wow, that's just. It's a wonderful. It's an honor, honestly.
Yeah, I think there's a phenomenon in the Christian music industry right now of this generational thing, because a slew of artists that were 90s, they raised their family, and now they're coming back and doing new albums. Pandemic may have started some of this off or whatever, but I think it's just real interesting that you've got a generational thing going.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You've got like all new fans and a new generation, and then you've got the old school fans.
Right. Yeah, when that happens, it's like I said, it's such an honor because, I mean, sometimes in this generation today, it could be gone, and it's like you're there and it's done, and then, you know, no more music anymore. But, you know, to see it go into generations now, it's just, that's an amazing thing. Yeah.
Well, let me let you go. I know you got a lot of stuff to do today.
Thanks, Cindy.
Bye. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned for more great music and check out my blog page on the Solid Rock Radio website for my guests' social media links. If you've missed any of my past interviews, you can find them uploaded to podcast.solidrockradio.org. Have a wonderful week, and let's be kind to one another.